Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back. Hour two, as we say good morning, Canada, and welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Rod's still back in... I'm going to lose my mic here. Rod's still back in Mexico. So, if I can fix this, it's me and Smitty. Darren DuPont alongside with you here in the Rod Peterson Show. Here for hour two. It was a good hour one with Les Lazarick of the Saskatoon Blades, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, joining us.
And how smooth is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He's great.
You're lucky.
Well, I am lucky. Yeah. I get to work with him in Saskatoon and Rod in Regina and you. And I mean, man, I'm living the best life.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? Years from now, people are going to say, hey, I'm lucky to work with Darren DuPont.
I don't know about that.
No, that was guaranteed.
Well, that's it's something that we're having a lot of fun, right? Mm-hmm. And a great chat leading into that break about the NFL Combine. We'll get more of that coming up here in hour number two. We'll talk a little bit more hockey as well. The Vegas Golden Knights in what we were dubbing the biggest game of the year, the biggest game of the week for sure. Yeah. A 3-0 win over Edmonton, a nice Pacific Division battle, but it was 3-0. Marc-Andre Fleury, his fifth shutout of the season, and now the loss for the Oilers. The RP bump continues, but for the Oilers, now sitting in third in the Pacific Division, 74 points, tied with Vancouver. The Canucks, though, have two games in hand. Mm. And Vegas up there with 78 points now. Edmonton does have one game in hand on Vegas. So that's interesting. And when it comes to the NHL, Andreas Athanasiou, I haven't seen an update, Clark, this morning. Have you on the Oilers forward? Dustin Nielsen would probably have it, I'm guessing. But if you can find it, want to find out what they're saying about Andreas Athanasiou. He left in the third period of the game last night, did not return, played one shift of the third period, and then didn't return. The Oilers had a really good start, but then went on a stretch of 33 minutes, you know, in the beginning of the second period and into the third, where they only had six shots on goal. Oof. It was tough. Yeah. Vegas really poured it on. They're a good hockey team.
Boy, they're coming on.
They got better at the trade deadline, you know, shoring up the goaltending situation. Robin Leonard was a Vezina candidate last season, and they picked up Alec Martinez, a Stanley Cup winning defenseman from the LA Kings. They got Cousins up front. He's got a goal last night. I mean, it was really, really great. So as we have the NHL on the top of our minds, let's head out on the video chat and join Jeff Ulrich. He's the Daily Fantasy Sports Analyst for DraftKings. And the first one, I want to go right from producer Clark. He has on the monitor here, how does one become a Daily Fantasy Sports Analyst for DraftKings? Because it sounds like a pretty great job.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of just a circumstantial thing. As a guy who was big into poker at the time, when online poker was kind of in its heyday, and I kind of started to transition to playing a lot of NFL fantasy too. It was just kind of up my alley. And, you know, I kind of got into it mainly through fantasy golf, actually, which kind of sounds strange. But DraftKings put out a daily fantasy golf product around 2015, and it came with the end of football season. And just through a couple people I knew in the industry, they were looking for people to kind of do commentary and analysis on that. And as someone who watches an absurd amount of sports, I was pretty up to date on what was going on in the world of golf. So it kind of fitted with them right away, and it just kind of blossomed there. So now I do football, golf, hockey, kind of year-round.
I would think golf would be your number one, hey?
Yeah, I mean, it's been my one thing since day one. So I really like the betting and fantasy markets from golf. To me, are just really intriguing every week, because you have these huge fields of guys who can just pop up out of nowhere. You get like 500-1 winners a couple times during the season. It's high variance filled, but it's really fun to play, quite frankly, for daily fantasy especially.
Well, when you're watching golf, like, you know, and I used to work in golf at the provincial level, and you're running championships, and you get the same group of guys. So it's almost like a tour. And when you're around these guys on a daily basis, you get a real feel for who's doing what and who might be in contention. It's the same thing on the PGA Tour. When you're following, you know, you're following the guys on a weekly basis from one course to the next, and who's playing well and who might not be, and you know who's played well at certain courses. So the fantasy angle is super fun. Have you noticed it start to grow? Because we had the Tiger effect, and that really took the game of golf off. But then when he kind of went away for a little bit, it seemed like golf was coming back down. But it seems to really be on the upswing again, at least from what I see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think over the last couple of years too, you're getting an influx of some of these like bigger players, not just Tiger. Obviously, Tiger being back is huge for the sport. You know, it definitely peaked last year around the Masters, just from a pure, you know, global perspective. But you know, you have players like Brooks Koepka coming out. Obviously, he's very vocal. He doesn't mind saying what's on his mind. You've got a villain kind of persona in the guy like Patrick Reed, who wins tournaments and backs up what he says sometimes. So despite what people say about him. And you've got guys like Justin Thomas and you know, Ricky Fowler is still kicking around as well. These are just personable younger players who people like, especially in the States. So from a fantasy perspective, I think people are always a little bit surprised at how big golf is, especially on DraftKings. It's a bit of a seasonal thing, you know, but once football ends, golf picks up a ton of momentum, especially as we head into the Masters. You got big prize pools on DraftKings every week, but really big ones when we head into tournaments like the Players and Masters. And you know, DraftKings typically gives away like $1 million first prize in a big event for each of the major tournaments. They're actually doing it at the Players this year too. It's a $2.2 million guaranteed tournament. So it's a big daily fantasy sport. It really is. It's blossomed into one of the bigger ones for them, probably in their top four. So I think people are always a little bit surprised about it, but it is a fun, like I said, if you haven't tried it and you're a DraftKings regular or even just starting out, it's a fun sport to get involved in.
Jeff Ulrich joining us from DraftKings and writes at thefantasygrind.com. Yeah, golf, the Masters. I always do a Masters pool. Mm. It is so much fun to be involved in. But we were just talking about the NHL and the Oilers last night. What, you know, the trade deadline, how much does that impact things in your world and the fantasy sports world when it comes to hockey?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, NHL is, it's kind of more of a daily grind thing. Obviously, you've got to keep updated on the injury news and the movements. And the trade deadline is always, like, one of the biggest events of the year because you have, even leading up to it, you had, teams sitting out players. So, hockey isn't as big for players sitting out as, say, basketball. But, you know, over the last couple of weeks, you've really had to kind of watch things. You know, you had teams like the Blackhawks sitting Gustafson. He was kind of a pivotal player sometimes. So, a lot of other examples. And then you have the movement at the deadline, which really shifted things. It's a big event for hockey. Like I said, especially when you're playing daily fantasy hockey, you need to stay updated on who's playing on what line, who's getting the opportunities, especially with the power play, because, you know, points are obviously the main source of scoring and DraftKings scoring. So the more power play exposure, the more top six exposure your player gets, just the better position they're in to produce for fantasy. So it's a big thing. A lot of movement, obviously, this year. You know, some guys changing roles, getting to play with stud players like Anafisi of the Oilers now from Detroit. So, it's a big thing for daily fantasy for sure.
Well, those are the two guys, Andreas Athanasiou and Tyler Ennis. Now, you know, you got Athanasiou, who's a one-time, he has a 30-goal scorer last year, but playing on a down team. Worst plus-minus in the league, though, but he can fly like the wind. And then you got Tyler Ennis, who's, you know, was a three-time 20-goal scorer, but that was a few years removed. Oiler fans are so excited about these two guys, but, you know, fantasy sports and especially odds makers, they tend to be a little bit more in the realm of realism, right, when it comes to actually analyzing these guys. So how would you analyze, you know, those two guys if you're following it?
I mean, as long as they're both playing alongside Connor McDavid, they're going to be good targets. It really comes down to with the DraftKings, how you construct roster to what their salary is. So Athanasiou, his first two games, he was $4,500 on DraftKings. That's really cheap. Like most elite wingers are pushing into the 6-7K range. So whenever you're getting a guy with talent like him, you know, like you said, a former 30-goal scorer, lots of speed, a guy who can keep up with Connor McDavid. Whenever you're getting a player like that at $4,500, it's a good target. He's going to make for a good target until his salary reaches a point where, you know, it's 6 or 7K and he's getting priced alongside similar type players. This guy's gonna have tons of offensive opportunity. We already saw it, right? So obviously he didn't have the greatest game last night. He left injured in the third period, so you're gonna have to keep an eye on that going forward. But the game before that, you know, we saw him obviously pot 2 points. So I'm expecting more of the same. Ennis is an interesting one because I didn't really expect him to start on McDavid's line. But again, injury issues led to him popping up there. He was only $3,700 in his first game. That's ridiculously cheap. Ennis is actually a pretty skilled offensive player too. So even if he slots in on the second line as well, I mean, that's just too cheap for a player of his skill. Getting to play alongside Draisaitl and McDavid, it's just going to be about opportunity. If those two players keep playing alongside the other studs and their prices remain cheap, it's going to be a great chance to keep taking shots on these players towards the end of the year. There are going to be times when you know, like I said, they cool off or their price goes up. But for now, yeah, definitely players you need to be stacking kind of on a nightly basis.
Well, that line of Athanasiou, McDavid, and Ennis in their debut Tuesday night combined for 7 points. You're right. You're playing with McDavid or you're playing with Draisaitl. You're going to put up some points. So great value. I love that. That's awesome insight. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about today before we let you go is the XFL. Is it making a dent on fantasy sports? Are people betting on the XFL or do they just not know enough about it yet?
Oh, no. I mean, people are definitely doing it. It's one of those things. I think that betting in fantasy sports, it's progressed to, you know, you have, you know, sites like DraftKings that offer really good products for it now, and sports betting obviously becoming more normalized in the United States as well. So it's good timing for the XFL. They've kind of embraced some of these nuances, these new things, you know, with more interaction too, like after games and stuff like that, and getting players mic'd up. People like that, and people like football. Like you talk about other sports, obviously, on here. I talk about other sports on a daily basis. Football is still what moves the needle from a fantasy perspective. So the XFL has struck at the right time, in my opinion. People are definitely playing daily fantasy. I think DraftKings put up like a $350,000 guarantee for week one. So there's big prize pools out there for fantasy purposes. People are getting into it in the betting market as well. It's going to come down to the XFL if they can put up a quality enough product. People will continue to do this for sure. So it's been kind of hit or miss, in my opinion, anyways, the first couple of weeks. But like I said, I think this second time around, they've at least embraced some of the things that will get people interested on social media and things like that. And to me, with the expansion of the betting market and DFS and fantasy sports, it's only going to help them grow. So it's a really interesting sport to get involved with. There's some obviously ex-NFL, ex-college, ex-CFL players you can track if you're like a really big football guy, kind of like I am. So I'm good. I'm glad it's there. It's a good off-season thing. We'll see how it goes. It's obviously still in its infancy.
Yeah, still in its infancy, but we're all paying attention at least, wondering exactly, right, you know, how big exactly this thing's going to get. So that's awesome. And this has been a great update. Appreciate it, Jeff. And yeah, thanks for joining us. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Anytime, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Jeff Ulrich joining us from DraftKings and thefantasygrind.com, where he talks all things fantasy sports. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to football. It's the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show here on a Thursday. The Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. Brady texting in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, the Oilers have now lost two games after the deadline, and the RP Show bump is still alive and well for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Habs still trying, but they won't make the playoffs. Raptors are still alive and showed some great defensive play during their game against the Bucks. Yes, they lost to the Bucks. I was wrong. Dustin Nielsen was right, but Raptors are still playing some great basketball. They're still a fun team to watch. So get your comments in on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. So there you go. Still a big welcome to everybody joining us here on the Facebook wall. Jason reminding us about Dave Tippett last night. He doesn't believe that Andreas Athanasiou's injury is serious. He doesn't think it's too serious. So that's good news.
What was it? Lower body?
Said. So we'll be following that as the Oilers get set to continue on here. And still battle for the Pacific Division. Vancouver's in Ottawa tonight, another big game. You mentioned the Jets are home to Washington, the Leafs are in Florida, and Calgary is in Nashville, a game that has big playoff implications as they're both at 70 points and in a real battle for the wild card spot right now. Calgary in the number one wild card spot with 72 points, but Nashville's got two games in hand. They're in the second wild card spot at 70 points now. Winnipeg back also with 70 points. Mm-hmm. But they've played one more game than Calgary, and they've played three more games than Nashville. Yeah. So they got their work cut out for them, and they got Washington tonight.
Yeah,
that's not so easy of a task.
No, it's not easy. It's a big game, huge game tonight.
Massive, massive game. All right, we were talking about the NFL Combine, and our friend Jeff Reinbold commenting in this morning to Clark, and he's interested to hear your comments on Joe Burrow's tongue-in-cheek tweet about retiring from the NFL due to small hands. Now, they measured his hands. He just won a national championship. He won the Heisman, right?
Yep.
He's set to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and they say his hands are too small.
Yeah.
Not that that's, you know, necessarily deterring people from making him the number one overall pick, but they're talking about it. It's a thing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Burrow had one heck of a year last year. He had 60 touchdown passes. His completion percentage was, you know, skyrocket. And, you know, he's a good quarterback. He didn't have quite the year before. And some of the people are saying, you know, hey, is it a one-year wonder? Look at all the talent he had, all that kind of stuff. But just watching that kid, the way he threw, you know, in the games coming up to the national championship, it was so accurate. And, you know, the tongue-in-cheek, you know, it's kind of, hey, well, you know, I may as well retire. I don't have the hands to play the game, you know, but I can throw 60.
Apparently the tape measure tells me I'm not a good quarterback,
yeah, it says,
right?
You know, 60 touchdowns last year, you know, with these little hands. You know, what's funny is when I watched him, and I always watch, you know, quarterbacks' hands and stuff like that, I was shocked that they measured nine across. Like I was very shocked at that. I thought his hands were, you know, like a good size for a quarterback. But you know, shit, the kid can play. The kid can go out there and he can play. It'll be interesting to see. And I think, you know, he came from he was a coach's son. His coach's dad played with the Montreal Alouettes, played with Wally way back in the day, and you know, had been on the Ohio staff for many years, and you know, it's kind of neat that Cincinnati's got the first pick, and he's going to probably be taken by Cincinnati, and that's not far from where Ohio University is, and the draft, you just never know. You go back, Peyton Manning, the University of Washington State, Ryan Leaf. I mean, you know, one guy became a Hall of Famer, the other guy didn't. So you never know. But it's an indication that this kid is going to be pretty darn good in the pros. Just his accuracy, you know, and that's such a huge part of a quarterback. He was so right on with a lot of his throws, even though he did have lots of talent, but there's other quarterbacks out there that had some pretty good talent too. So, you know, like the Alabama quarterback who they're saying that's going to be five going to Miami.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, did he have chopped liver? No. Like some, I think there's three receivers that's going in the draft that he had to work with. One of them is probably going to have the fastest time. You know, the kid Ruggs the third. I think, you know, he might have the fastest time of the combine. So, draft is also always interesting.
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa, right? Is the quarterback from Alabama. Yeah, yeah, it's always interesting, you know.
And
watching.
Then Justin Herbert, the kid from Oregon, who, yeah. You know, he's got all the tools, 6'6". He's got the big mitt. You know, he had some success at Oregon, so there we go. And he's going to throw, which I really like. I like that a guy will go and you know, do those things at the combine.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, when you look at Cincinnati having the number one overall pick and Joe Burrow, and there's been talk about, well, Joe, do you want to go to Cincinnati? It's a little bit of a disaster over there. They haven't been able to get out of their own way. And he could come out and do what's been done in the past and really slander the organization or say things in the media that would lead you to believe that he doesn't want to go there, and they would say, okay, well, if he doesn't want to come here and he doesn't like the organization, then we can't draft the guy, right? We got to trade the pick, or we got to draft somebody else, or does he, you know, kind of do the Eli Manning thing?
Well,
that's
the thing. Like Eli said, I'm not going there, and so that they traded, and you know they got Rivers, and you know, so I think the kid will go there. You know, I think he lived in Ohio, and here's a chance to get that. You know, I mean, Cincinnati hasn't been, you know, dog poop for a long, you know, forever.
Right.
I mean, they've had some success, you know, so, I mean, here's a chance to go in there. You know, they've got Andy. He could go in and learn from Andy. Well, I think Andy's a free agent anyway, Andy Dalton. But it's an opportunity to go in there and you know, put your mark, much like Patrick Mahomes did.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's... It don't take much, you know. You go right across the NFL, and even the bottom teams, it don't take much for those. Look at San Francisco, you know, for years, and all of a sudden they started a draft here and there. Cincinnati needs some help on defense too, you know. So it getting that quarterback that can take you to the next level. Obviously, there's a start. So.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing,
yeah.
For sure. So, it'll be interesting to watch. But the combine thing, and why hasn't it translated to the CFL when it comes to the combine? Is it just because the draft doesn't hold as much importance to the Canadian Football League as the NFL draft does to the National Football
transfer
League?
Transfer in the CFL, what do you mean?
Like how come, like you said, you missed the CFL Combine.
Yeah.
You missed being there. You know, we had Mark's CFL week with the Combine, and it's just not a big deal, right?
Well, for who?
Well,
for
yeah.
For me.
So, again, for you, it's a yeah. massive deal for the football yeah. people. But yeah. the NFL Combine has become a massive deal for all of us, and the measurements are in the news. That doesn't happen in the CFL.
Well, don't forget, the CFL, the CFL Combine is for Canadian players.
Yeah.
Now, those Canadian players that are going to come in, those guys aren't impact players like the Americans that are going to come down. Now, some of those kids could develop into impact players like an Andy Fantuz and guys like that. But, you know, so initially, and I always said, you know, when you're drafting in the Canadian Football League, a lot of times it's a development thing. A lot of those kids are going to be playing special teams for a year, maybe two, maybe forever, but maybe not. Maybe some of those kids like Singleton's a little different, and Cameron Judge, those are kind of American trained guys that have, you know, lived here. But, you know, some of those kids will have an opportunity to come in and play and be starters, but they're not big-time impact guys. Like in the NFL, right away, like that first round can come into your team and it can help immensely.
Yeah.
And if you look at San Francisco, they had, was it five first-round picks? I think four of them were their own, but one of them came over. And look at that defense. Look at how that defense was because of the draft. Impact players that can come in and make a difference. Now, the CFL, it's critical in the Canadian Football League to draft the Canadian kids and to get your team really, really strong and make the proper selections. And, you know, it's like a puzzle. you have your American, and you have to have strong Americans. You have to have good Canadians. Mm-hmm. You have to have the kicking game, all that good special teams. But and it's a puzzle, so you got to plug in some really good pieces in this puzzle to make that team, you know, a winner. And you know, I think, and I've said this before, like I really like what Kyle and O'Shea does. I think they're the top of the line. I've been in the league. I've worked with everybody. I worked with Wally. I've worked with Obilovic, Shivers, you name it, you know. And these guys are right at the top. This guy over here sitting in his office, I think he's going to be pretty good too. Mm-hmm. And he's got Paul Jones, who's one of the better ones. And, you know, a new kid in Kyle. Can't remember his last name. But, you know, he's going to work his ass off. And you know, they're going to develop. And that's critical with regards to – get the Canadian kids, sign the American guys, and get at it.
Yeah. In the NFL, that combine and the scouting system for new players coming into the league is so important. It's the way you build your team, right? Yeah. It's a little different in the Canadian Football League. It's, you know, you got to scout those Americans. You got to put all the miles on like you did.
Yeah.
Is that has to be the biggest difference, right? Is that you have so much more things that are part of that puzzle than just one area.
Well, it's like apples and oranges, really, because in the NFL, they've got area scouts.
Yeah.
So one guy will have this area, say the Midwest, and he'll go to all these schools. They'll get a report at the start of the year to tell the guys who to look at. So they'll right in training camp. You know, I sat in watching film with a bunch of scouts, and they're working on their schedule. You know, the college scouts, they're working on their schedule to get to the see all the guys that they need to see. So, and that's just a part of it.
Yep.
And they have the pro side, you know, where they're always looking to try to get better. But the other thing about the NFL draft is, so you go through all the players, and you got the last guy who gets picked. What was it, Mr. Irrelevant?
Okay. Yeah.
But then it starts the hop in the NFL cities and in the offices, because now they're all scrambling for guys that they like. And those guys can also come in, and they can turn into starters.
Yeah.
Those undrafted free agents, and that's kind of what we're waiting. You know, we're looking, and you know, we're like it's a sifter, right? And all the sift is coming down, but the crumbs. We're looking for the crumbs.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that's derogatory. I'm saying the crumbs are some darn good football players that can come up and play in the CFL, but that's what we're doing. So in the CFL, we're waiting for that. We're waiting, you know. So it's almost like last year's draft is kind of more important than this year, because all these guys and most of those NFL guys that are drafted or they're undrafted, they're waiting because the payday. You know, I mean, it's just incredible the difference. But you know, the Canadian Football League offers a pretty darn good opportunity to play the game that you love, to come into cities that are fantastic, and you know, and make some money in doing it, and it's not the worst in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, you're a player. I mean, you're going to games, you're getting your per diem, and you're eating pretty good. You're when you're on the road and stuff like that, it's an opportunity to play.
Yeah, no, really, absolutely. The other thing when it comes to the NFL, and we'll get to this in a little bit, is the schedule. And it's big right now. The NFL players, though, are saying no. At least some very vocal and very influential voices. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, among them. Richard Sherman's one of them that are voicing out against 17 games. Yeah. We're going to get to that. I want your thoughts on that here, because you don't like it, and I assumed you would, and it's wrong of me to assume, but as a guy who loves to watch football so much, I'm like, oh man, an extra week to watch football, Smitty will be in heaven.
An extra
week of competitive football.
Well,
but
you worry about the players, you know, because if we don't have the players, you know, we don't have the opportunity to sit down and have some nachos and watch a game, and an extra game allows for more injury. You know, I understand, you know, where they're coming from to get that extra game, you know, four preseason games. Like, I've gone to so many week three preseason games, and for us it's not very good because the starters are playing. I remember going to Gillette Stadium, and Brady went into the fourth quarter in the third, and that was unheard of. I mean, I don't know why, but you know, I'm waiting to see the backup quarterback come in, and you know, he's playing in the fourth quarter, you know. So that's essentially the game that they get into. And so now I know it'll be a lot more difficult for the CFL because, you're seeing four preseason games and training camp and stuff like that. So we get an opportunity to see four games. Now, if they cut it down, that's one less for us to see. But who cares about that? I mean, that's a selfish thing.
Yeah.
But as far as the players are concerned, it's another game. And a lot of those players aren't playing in the preseason. They're playing a little bit, and then that's it, and they're off,
What's interesting is that the NFLPA and the NFL, the owners and the players, got together and agreed on this. But that's the lawyers, that's the representatives at the high level that do the negotiations. They agreed on this, taking the players' interests and needs, taking the owners' and the teams' interest and the league's interest, and they agreed on this. But then your lawyers go your separate ways, and now you got to convince your clients to accept the deal that you've come to. They can't sell it to the players.
Well,
the players don't like it.
And that's the thing. I was listening to Brady Quinn on the NFL Network yesterday, and he was talking about way back when he was a player, they had something agreed upon, and it was ratified. And then later on, things were coming out, and the players were going, "What? What kind of I didn't want that," so they were because they really didn't get the full thing. You almost got to be a lawyer to read some of that. Try to read the CFL stuff. It takes a long time because you read it over and over again. Like he's trying to because it's all that
understanding the language.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a big
so,
part.
So the players sometimes they don't even know. Yeah. So it's a difficult situation.
Very difficult, but one that's appears to be a long way from over. We'll take a break, and Sportsnet's Ken Reed will join us on the other side from Ontario. This is the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show here on a Thursday. Darren DuPont in for Rod Peterson. Two more days, and then Rod's back from Mexico. Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. And our daily poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is asking, if you're in favor of the NFL increase to a 17-game regular season, and what do you think the fans are saying, Smitty?
Oh, they'll probably want it big time.
52.7% say no.
Wow.
Yeah, big shock to me anyways, and you on that. I just don't understand. I get it, though, from the players' perspective. And that's why we watch the games, right?
Yeah.
For the players.
Absolutely.
And if the players don't like it, then I guess we don't like it, right? So we watch for the players. The players, Aaron Rodgers, kind of leading that charge right now. Russell Wilson's come out against it. So the lawyers having some trouble selling the 17-game schedule to their players. But we head out on the video chat now to, I'm not sure if I call this Central Canada or Eastern Canada. I think you're in Ontario, right, Ken?
Right in Toronto, yeah. It depends what part of the country you're from. Because isn't Middle Canada Winnipeg, technically?
Well, I mean, it seems like Ontario people call Ontario Central Canada, but I call Ontario Eastern Canada, and then they're like, what do you call, you know, the Atlantic part? Well, isn't it Atlantic Canada?
That'd be down east.
Down east, and okay. East and down east.
Right.
Well, that's...
I'm from Nova Scotia, think Toronto's out west. I'm like, no, it's west, but it's not.
Yeah, you're from Pictou, Nova Scotia, right?
Nailed it, Darren.
Did I say it right?
Pictou.
I knew it was either Pictou or Pictou, Nova Scotia. I've never been out to Atlantic Canada, but it's on my list. Why should somebody travel to Pictou, Nova Scotia?
It is the birthplace of New Scotland. The first ever Scottish immigrant to Canada landed in Pictou on the ship Hector. In 1776, I want to say, and there's a recreation of the ship there, and we like to drink the odd pop. It's a fun place. And lobster, right? Everybody likes lobster.
Absolutely. Who doesn't?
Ken, whereabouts is that? Where is Pictou?
What's that?
Whereabouts is that? Where, like, I've been to Nova Scotia scouting all the four CIS schools, but whereabouts is it?
So it's you've driven to Antigonish, then to go to St.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
West of Antigonish, so hour and a half northeast of Halifax, right across from Prince Edward Island. If you've ever taken the ferry from Nova Scotia to PEI, the ferry goes from Pictou.
Okay, is there a Tim Hortons there?
Oh yeah, we had two.
I think
two.
Yeah, I think I stopped there for a Tim Hortons on the way to Antigonish.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. How does Pictou become known for its pizza though? Apparently, there's pretty good pizza there. I'm told.
Yeah, I think just because it's unique, it's different. It's got a brown sauce, and we put our toppings under the cheese. But you got to let it cool for 10 minutes before you bite in, or you're going to burn the roof of your mouth. Ivanka Osmak learned that at the pick.
What's the brown sauce? I'm curious about the brown sauce.
No one knows. It's like the caramel secret. So
really?
It's hot, spicy, and... there was a guy in front of us in the line. He's like, I never had this before. I said, Ivanka. I said, watch, he's going to burn the roof of his mouth. And he torched the roof of his mouth.
So jeez.
That's incredible. You know what? It probably came from somebody's grandma's grandma that just only had those certain ingredients. It's the roast, right?
Yeah.
You know, the end of the roast, you cut the end of the roast off and it's in the pan. So, you know, they asked the daughter, well, why do you do that? Well, that's because what mom did. And mom said, and you ask, go to mom and say, why do you do that? Well, that's what my mom did, your grandmother. And you go to the grandmother and why do you cut the end of the roast off? Because we only had a small pan. We had to cut the roast off.
Yeah.
And they thought that was the family secret. So
okay.
Maybe that's why they have brown sauce.
Everything basically happens out of necessity, right? Like so if the pan was, that's why you cut her off. So that makes sense.
Look, as the host of Sportsnet Central out in Toronto, is a day like last Saturday night, is that something you guys get excited about? Is that like a Christmas for you guys when you get an emergency backup goaltender that plays and a great story that you guys can go and have a lot of fun with? Because, man, when we watch the show, you guys are having fun.
Yeah, that was Christmas. Wasn't it? Sorry, I'm just looking for a phone charger here, guys. Yeah, that was absolutely Christmas. The way it all came together. I mean, what a fantastic story. I love the people that, this can't happen again. Well, why not? It was a great story. Guy lived his dream. If you can't get excited about that, you're not a sports fan. I always say, I work about 200 nights a year. I always say I get paid for about 10 of them, you know, when stuff goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So a big second or something happens during the show. That's one of those nights where you're getting paid because stuff's happening. You got to get it on the fly. Kyle Bukauskas, I mean, credit to him. He's the ringside reporter on Hockey Night in Canada. He doesn't know who David Ayers is when all this stuff starts going down. And, man, he went to work, and right away he got us a little background on the guy. Hasn't played since the Allen Cup in 2014 and, 42 years old. It was such a cool story. And, I mean, for me, we kind of all lived through him that night. Who wouldn't want that one shot in the NHL? Mm-hmm. And he got it perfectly. Win or lose, he handled it perfectly. He was so classy the whole night.
Yeah, it's just so cool. You know, I love following the business and the ins and outs and, you know, watching what people's habits are and where things are going. And it's interesting in your position because we know that we're not breaking any news on our shows, right? I mean, everybody's got it on their cell phones now. They know what's happened. But you guys continue to find a way to be entertaining and be kind of must-see programming. What's that like on a daily basis? Because it used to be such a responsibility to deliver the scores and deliver the news, and it was the only place that you could get it. But now, as we evolve, how are you guys, staying relevant and able to continue to capture the attention of Canadian sports fans?
Thanks, Darren. I think that's important. For me and Ivanka, we don't rehearse anything. We don't talk about what we're going to talk about on the air literally until we talk about it. So if we're going to add and they tell us in our ear, okay, you're coming back, you're going to chat Oilers Flames, I'll say to her, you start or I start. She'll say to me, you start or I start. And I'll start. Or she'll say, Ken, you start. Or vice versa. And we just go. And for our show, we're literally happening right when the games end. So If you see me read the highlights, I guess it would be, say, 8 o'clock your time. The game just ended. I'm not seeing the highlights until you see the highlights at home. And my script is probably just printed off. So the reaction you're getting from me, if I'm freaking out at a save or a fight or a hit, genuine reaction. So it's organic, I guess, is the word that you'd use nowadays. So back in my day, you'd say keeping it real. So it's just a genuine reaction. You're seeing my enthusiasm or my lack of enthusiasm, my disdain or my joy at something. And that's just my honest reaction. So I think a sports highlight show at its best, it's the equivalent of me just sitting down with you watching the highlights. You're seeing it at the same time as I'm seeing them. So I'm not going to sit there going, oh, Alexander Ovechkin scored his seventh goal of the season. He's now 194 behind Wayne. That's not how I do it, right? So, he scored his 700. Oh, cool. And I'm crossing my fingers going, oh, my God, I'll break Wayne's record. But I'm sadly realizing he's probably going to. I have to cope with that. I'm a diehard guy. So for me, it's just, and Ivanka as well, the way we do it, it's just, it is what it is. You get what you get. If you saw us prepare for the show, you'd probably think, oh, my God, they don't do anything. They just go on the air and just kind of react. And we have our cheat notes. I have my stats on the side, but we just kind of go on the air and react. And that's kind of it.
Is it like the show, Sports Night? Did you watch that with Josh Charles?
Yeah. I have that on DVD.
Do I.
Oh, sweet. Okay. You're as geeky as I am about
in
there. Cool. It's like the show that we don't have our own offices. I always like that the anchor, like, each had their own office. Yeah. I do not have an office. Yeah,
and you're not running the highlight packs on a VHS to the VTR machine.
Not running on the, it's all computers now, and I'm not nearly as handsome as the two anchors that had on
Craig,
yeah, you guys do a great job. I love watching. You got great chemistry. Now, does Ivanka get mad at you when you call her by her last name all the time?
No. I call all my last name. So yeah. Some viewers, you're disrespectful. Disrespect your. You know what? In 2020, one thing I've learned with social media and in being in broadcasting for 20 plus years, you can't make everybody happy.
Yeah.
And nowadays, the people who make happy have easy access to tell you.
Yeah.
So you just, in the wise words of Audio Slave, be yourself is all that you can do. So if people don't like me calling her back, what can you do? Like, there's not a buddy I have that I call by his first name.
Well, you guys got great chemistry on the show. It's fantastic.
Hey, she can't stand me, by the way.
Ken Reed is a host of Sportsnet Central, but also a four-time author, right? I got that right, four times. The hockey card book.
Yeah, the two hockey card books. Oh, five-time now.
Five-time. Okay, five-time author. Got to get that right. You got lots of, you don't got much time on your hands writing books, hosting the show. I gave up on collecting hockey cards when I was a kid. I got the 25-year anniversary set for one of my birthdays.
Nice.
And I picked out all the great cards. I had a Gretzky card and Lemieux, and I had the old guys. I had the Rocket. I had probably, you know,
oh my goodness,
a dozen really good cards in this 25 anniversary set. So I said, you know what? I'm always a kid who plays with this. I lose things. I'm going to wreck them. So I put them in a box. A wooden box. I went out in the backyard, I dug a hole, and I buried him. And I'm like, I'm going to come back when I'm 20 or 30, and I'm going to pull these out. They're going to be worth thousands of dollars. So,
you made a wait that.
What's that?
You made a time capsule with your hockey cards?
Basically, in a wooden box put underground. Now, I couldn't wait that long. So, about a year later, maybe two, I go back in the yard where I had, you know, marked it out and I dug it up. And of course, you know, I'm, you know, 12 years old. I didn't put it in plastic, right?
No.
So they're all destroyed because it's a wooden box that had rotted and just a disaster.
Feel over there. Dryness is key for hockey and baseball cards. You want a nice dry area.
Yeah, not. I didn't know. I didn't tell anybody, right? So my dad couldn't help me out. My mom couldn't help me. I didn't tell anybody I was doing it. But what's the most interesting card that you've come across in your time? Because you like unique sports cards.
Yeah, it's funny because like when I was a kid, I was really into it, right? And then I left for college, and I just discovered balls, right? So then your hockey and baseball cards kind of go to the wayside. Then you get married, and you have, you know, realize you only have so much man time, and you kind of maybe nostalgia the whole thing. And I find a lot of people who collected in the boom, like myself, are going back to it now that they're in their 40s or late 20s, like myself. And for me, I mean, I've come across a lot of cool things. One of the coolest thing I ever saw was the T206 Honus Wagner. I saw one of those at the National in Chicago. Geeked up, got my picture with it, all that stuff. I got a Rocket Richard rookie that I'm pretty proud of. It's beat up, but I enjoy it. Of course, I have my Gretzky rookie. But what I love about cards is kind of has its own little story if you really take the time to look at it. There's some great cards out there right now, and for me, it's a trip down memory lane. It's putting hockey history right in your hand. So I enjoyed them all, but I really like the ones from, you know, the 50s and the 60s, the old haircut, the old style.
Yeah.
They're just a little part. And if you were a kid, let's say somewhere in Saskatchewan in 1961, maybe the only look you'd get at a guy like, say, oh, I don't know, Boom Boom Jeffrey on was on his hockey card, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't watch TV and you only heard him on the radio or he was in a magazine, maybe, if you're lucky enough to get a hockey magazine. So those cards were a link between fans and the NHL. I hope they still are at a certain level today.
That we do here with the Facebook show, we got a wall of comments that comes in. Clark, can you pull up the comment from Brett asking him about the pizza? He was asking you about the Wheel. He says there was always a great place called the Wheel, and he wants to know if it's still around or if you know of it.
Well, I know of the Wheel. Craig, the Wheel is in Antigonish.
Yes, that's what he put on there. Yep, that's right.
The Wheel is not Pictou County Pizza. So the Wheel is Antigonish Pizza. But I'll tell you this. I worked in Calgary from 99 to 2003, and the Flames are on one night. I'm down at the game, and once in a while I'd watch from the Zamboni entrance. So I'm sitting down there by the Zamboni entrance and watching the game. And then the ice crew comes off. And the guy's like, hey, Ken, I'm so-and-so. He gave me his name. He's like, I'm from Antigonish. I was like, oh, cool, man. He goes, you ever hear of the Wheel? I'm like, of course I heard of the Wheel, man. I've been to the Wheel. Yeah. Like, my dad owns the Wheel. There you go. Small world. And we all moved out west. So, yeah, I know the Wheel well.
That's cool. Really cool. So I hope that that answers your question there, Brett, on the Facebook wall. And your latest book came out, what, just before Christmas time, Eddie Shack and Hockey's Most Entertaining Stories. What would be, give me one that would tease me into into buying the book.
Eddie's the only former top hockey prospect I know who lost his driver's license at the age of 13 and a half. Now, not only did he lose his driver's license at 13 and a half, he lost it for drag racing. He got his roadster up to 87 miles an hour. Got pulled over. So he lost his license at 13 and a half, but he has a positive ending. He got it back when he was 14. So that's the life Eddie Shack.
How about that?
Wow. That's incredible. Eddie Shack, hockey's, yeah? It's so incredible.
Yeah, for getting ready to go, oh, man, do I go major, junior? Do I go NCAA? I got the Phantom draft coming up in a few years. I got to eat this nutrition. I have to do this. Drinking cocktails and racing his car around. 13
Bantam draft. He's thinking about those things at 13 and a half, but he loses his driver's license. That's really cool, Ken.
That is.
Hockey's most entertaining stories. You can find it at Chapters Indigo. Ken, really great getting to know you here this morning, and hopefully this is the first of many.
Boys, I'd like to come back time. This was fun, and and thanks for the kind words about Sportsnet Central, and I hope everybody keeps watching. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Ken Reed joining us on the video chat this morning, the host of Sportsnet Central. That's cool, meeting new people in the business.
Oh, and he does a great job, and she does too. Oh, yeah. Osmak. Just excellent. There's so many good people out there, and you just love just sitting there and watching sports. You know, it's a great thing. I used to love hockey cards, man. I wished I had some of those ones back. He was talking about, you know, I was a kid from Winnipeg back in the 60s and had some really good ones. And geez, I would love to have had kept them, but didn't. Stupid, you know, that's the way it is when you're a kid. But yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, very, very cool. Stick around for overtime?
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's next for Emerald Water. This is The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you got to see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause. Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, Rod Peterson Show, as we welcome you in for overtime. Emerald Water, refreshing the overtime segment for the Rod Peterson Show. I want to thank everybody who joined us during the program today. Smitty, our director of scouting, has been in the whole time. Really appreciate you sticking around. Les Lazarick from Saskatoon back in hour one. Jeff Ulrich of DraftKings to kick off hour two. And a great chat we just had with Ken Reed of Sportsnet Central and Rogers Sportsnet. Again, his book, Eddie Shack. Hockey's most entertaining stories. If that story of Eddie Shack, 13 and a half years old, losing his driver's license, first of all, he's got a driver's license at 13 and a half.
How do you do that?
I mean, if that's just the tease, the book's got to be pretty good.
It would be interesting for me because, I mean, I was a big Leaf fan back in the day. I remember them when they won the last one. So, I was just so happy. And Eddie was a big part of that, you know, clear the track. Here comes Shaq. I mean, he was just incredible. It was just so Eddie entertainer, you know, I mean, he was just incredible. It was great. And they had some good teams way back then.
Tyler Dackey writing in on the Facebook wall, Ty, we might have to bring you back, Smitty, tomorrow. ESPN's Jeff Darlington on Get Up ESPN this morning. I'm now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady went back to New England. That from Adam Schefter.
Yeah. I could see that. You know, I just something just isn't real cool between them. I could see him going, and you know, I mean, geez, can happen to anybody. Look what Peyton. Peyton went, and you know, it would be very weird to see Tom Brady in another jersey. That's
don't
for sure.
Do this to me. The Titans are in on Brady, right? We know that. There's relationships there with Mike Vrabel. They're really good friends.
Sure.
Played together.
Yeah.
They had a joint practice, the Patriots and the Titans did. They had the joint practices just this past preseason in training camp. And you can see the videos of Brady and Vrabel going back and forth, because the year before, Vrabel and the Titans beat Brady during the regular season in the meeting, right?
Yeah.
They beat them, and so they were jawing back and forth. And now they beat them in the playoffs.
They did.
You know, so it's kind of interesting and fun that there's history there. They got a great running game, good offensive line, starting to get some young weapons in the receiving core, and hopefully they could add a couple in free agency.
They were in the championship game. I mean, they're right there,
right?
Man.
Defense is pretty good. Yeah. They're close. They're knocking on the door again.
And Brady, it's not like he was going to lose speed, because he was never
had it.
Exactly. And you know, I mean, he can still throw.
Yeah.
He still has that arm. He's got this, you know, so I mean, in addition to a team, just could put them over the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, the kid that played quarterback this year for the Titans, he did a good job
when he came in. Yeah, he was one of the best, if not the best quarterback statistically in the NFL since he came in. But they're both free agents.
Yeah.
Tannehill's a little younger. And this is what I wanted to get your thoughts on when it came to this situation. And I was just going to ask you, you know, off the air, but why not do it now? Because we're not restricted. We can go a little bit longer if we want to. What do they do? Because there's a couple of things here. When it comes to Marcus Mariota, you asked me that. What are they going to do with Mariota? Because he's such high prospect coming in, you know, the number two overall pick and all these things. And he's had some success, but he's battled injuries. And he's such an amazing person.
Yeah.
He's everything you want in a starting quarterback. He's young. He's got some speed. You know, in the new NFL with you know, the Patrick Mahomeses and, you know, the Lamar Jacksons. For me, if you're going to sign Ryan Tannehill and he's going to be your long-term answer, because if he took you to a championship game, how can you not?
Yeah.
Then I think he's your guy. You move on from Mariota, you bring somebody else in. But if you bring in a Tom Brady, would you entertain keeping Mariota around to learn from Brady? Because Brady is going to be a 2 to 3 year option.
Yeah.
And now you can look at Mariota and say, okay, you've had some experience in the league. You've got your feet wet. We still know you have skills. Yeah. Now you can learn how to be a pro.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad situation, is to stick around with Tom Brady there. We talked in the break about Castle, you know, and how he was in behind Brady. And, you know, he had to be a sponge being there, just learning in meetings.
Yeah.
You know, seeing and watching film and, you know, all these different things that you're going to learn from one of the best. So why wouldn't it be a good thing for that? Because Brady's not going to last forever, you know. So if it's 2 years and then Mariota gets back, you know, why not?
Yeah, and at that time there might be somebody else that comes along, and have an opportunity. Yeah, so that's really interesting. The thing about Brady leaving, and I was, you know, I've been watching a lot ESPN, Fox. I've been seeing it all because I'm monitoring this pretty closely. Colin Cowherd, probably on Fox, probably had it the best when he talked about, you know, it's like a marriage, you know, him in New England. Do you really want to leave, or are you just kind of mad at your spouse for a little bit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm mad at you, but I don't want to leave. You know, Tom Brady had come out, you know, it had been reported that he didn't want to go on a free agent tour.
Yeah.
He wanted to gather everybody in one spot and do it that way, have them come to him. So it's like, I don't really want to go out and explore this. You come to me, and if I like it, I'll go. It's like,
see,
is your heart in leaving?
But this... Does he have the ability? Like, it's New England's going to make the choice, correct? Like, it's the Patriots are going to make the choice.
Well,
right?
He's set to be a free agent, and Robert Kraft has said that they won't use the franchise tag on him.
Yeah,
they could, and they could keep him, but they won't use the franchise tag on him because he says, I don't want to force a guy to be here, and if he wants to come, I'm going to let him go, and if he really wants to be here, he'll be here.
I can't see him wanting to leave. I could see New England saying, we're moving on. Like, that's what I think. I think that Brady, you know, I think he probably would want to. Why wouldn't he want to stay there?
And if that happens, like, they're going to let Brady control that narrative, right, and say that he wants to leave.
They got
to
get more players for him. You know, they got to get some guys that, that he can throw to, he can go downfield with. You know, they were just lacking. You lose Gronk, which is a huge void, and you've got Edelman, right?
Right, that's but all. But they're trying, are they not? Everyone says that they don't have any weapons for him, but they... Well, they have, six running backs, and they drafted another young running back to try and get him some
running
help.
Running back wasn't the problem,
They
though.
Signed Antonio Brown. That didn't work out to try and get him some help. Yes. They traded for Mohamed Sanu to try and get... So they're trying, right?
Yeah.
They're trying, but they're just not getting the right pieces.
Well, yeah, Brown, it's too bad. It's too bad, because that would have been something.
They came in 1 week, had a touchdown, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Brady's pretty happy.
Yeah, and Sanu was, you know, he's been pretty good in the NFL. So, yeah, you are right. They're trying. But
they're trying.
Yeah.
And that's been the old adage. The narrative is, well, they're not getting him any help. I think they're trying.
Well, they didn't, though. I mean,
but they didn't get him any help.
Like, I mean, Brown
didn't work out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it wasn't a guy that stayed there. If they had him and they got Sanu, well, you know, that would have been pretty good.
Sports on Tap for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store, Regina's only drive-through beer and wine store, and for Wendell Clark's. See you at Wendell's. I don't know if I'm going to make it in tomorrow or not. See how early I can get out of here tomorrow. But in the NHL, it continues to be big in the NHL. New York tries to continue their winning ways. They got a 4-game winning streak going. The Rangers, they're in Montreal tonight.
They're playing good.
They're playing really good.
Yeah.
Toronto is on the road in Florida trying to win back-to-back games after beating Tampa on Tuesday night. Tampa is home to Chicago tonight. Boston is home to Dallas. Vancouver visits Ottawa trying to keep pace in the Pacific Division. Minnesota on the road in Detroit. St. Louis home to the Islanders. Calgary Flames, a big game tonight. They are on the road in Nashville. That one at 7 o'clock Central Time. And your Winnipeg Jets, Smitty, they are home to Washington after falling in a shootout to the Capitals back in Washington on Tuesday night. That game also at 7 o'clock Central Time. And San Jose is home to New Jersey tonight.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to mention is the curling from last week. Moose Jaw, I mean, what a great facility that is. I went to that. Kathy and I went to that, and we sat in the front row and watched our two Manitoba teams duke it out. And then, of course, Anderson wins the whole thing at the end. And, you know, it was pretty exciting. But Moose Jaw, I think, you know, a neat city. We went to Rendezvous and had some good old wings and a milkshake, and just we had a blast. That was the first time I had been in a crowd for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just so good. And the curling was great. It was a lot of fun. And we're going up to Saskatoon this week. I can hardly wait. This is going to be a darn good weekend, you know, with some hockey on Saturday night, and then good old Wendell's on Sunday. And then my cancer clinic appointment on Monday, so it's looking forward to it.
The best.
Yeah.
And it's the red velvet milkshake from Deja Vu is my favorite.
Oh, really?
It just tastes just like you're drinking a red velvet cake.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You know what I had? I had and people are going to go, what? But I had a black cherry pineapple.
Whoa.
It was fantastic.
I bet.
Oh, my God, it was good.
That's awesome. Updating the Capital Automall Universal Collision Center poll question. We asked today, are you in favor of the NFL increase to a 17-game regular season? Getting a little closer now, down to 50.8% of you saying no, not in favor.
How about that?
So how about that? Big how surprise that? On the poll question. And it's got you divided, which tells me we picked a good poll question today. You're not sure exactly which way you're going to go. If you missed any part of the show, what would be our rant today? Probably less on the Montreal Canadian fans.
Yes, that's
Let's
a
go
good
back.
One.
Yeah. To hour one, Les Lazarek on the rant for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer. Yeah. We asked you in the top of the show, what's the most annoying thing that fans of the fan base you hate do, right? Your opposing fan base, what is the most annoying thing they do? And he's right, Montreal Canadian fans, it's bringing up the 24 Stanley Cups. That's so tired and so annoying. Oiler fans, it's penalties. All they do is complain about penalties. Why isn't it being called on McDavid? Yeah. Why is McDavid getting this penalty on McDavid?
Yeah.
That's the annoying thing.
Yeah.
Leaf fans are very annoying, too. I don't know what their thing is, though. What's the Leafs thing, Clark? What have you been bugged as the Leafs thing? Do you know? Yeah, but that's not what Leaf fans do. What's the annoying thing that Leaf... Why are Leaf fans annoying?
I don't know.
Every player is going to get traded to the Leafs.
Because we think every player is going to get traded to the Leafs. Okay, there you go. Then this will probably get clipped. But that if we list the annoying thing that fans do, right, in Montreal, it's the 24 Stanley Cups. Always bringing up the 24 Stanley Cups. It's so tired. It's so overdone. In Toronto, it's thinking that every big marquee player is going to sign in Toronto because they want to play in Toronto, and everybody wants to play in Toronto. In Edmonton, it's complaining about the penalties, right? Mm-hmm. McDavid's getting hooked. Why don't penalties get called on McDavid and Draisaitl, right?
Yeah.
What's it in Winnipeg?
Oh, the Jets, you mean?
Yeah. What's the annoying thing that Jets fans do?
Jeez, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't live there anymore, so I don't know. But all I know is I cheer for them. I get mad at them. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But you're a Jets fan, yeah. You get mad at your own team.
I get mad at my own team and you know, think they should be winning all the time. And, you know, but, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question about Winnipeg.
Yeah. And Ottawa?
See, Winnipeg hasn't won, right?
Vancouver fans, they riot. Yeah, that's the most annoying thing they do.
Twice.
Maybe?
Twice. We were living there in 94 when that happened. Boy, I tell you, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff. But you know what? There's horrible fans all over the place.
Of course.
No matter where you go. I mean, there's bad, but they're so good. So there's a lot of good people out there. So, you know, the whole thing is go in and just enjoy. Hey, this is like we were talking on the break. How great of a time is this? There's like 18 to 20 games left in you know, for teams in the NHL. We got the playoffs are right around the corner in the WHL and SJHL. You know, it's just a fantastic time. It's just, and you know, CIS hockey, you know, great. This is fantastic.
Oh,
and, you know, hey, get out there and go support everybody.
It's so awesome. Yeah. Great time of year right now. So there you go. Tomorrow on the program, somebody's picking up Frenzy. I think that's me. He called me yesterday to check in. So I'll be there, John. 9 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be at your doorstep. Mike Hogan will join us, the voice of the Toronto Argonauts. Darren Bombing from TSN Radio in Winnipeg on the Jets and Bombers. And we'll have a visit from Tim Reed from Evraz Place in Regina as they get set to host the Grey Cup in 2020. That's going to be exciting. So we'll get a Grey Cup update from Tim.
That'll be great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Football Friday tomorrow. Thanks, Smitty.
Go Jets.
Go Jets.
Yankees, and we'll see you at Wendell's. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Good stuff. Looking forward to that. So appreciate you coming in.
Thank
and big
you.
Thanks to everybody
thanks for having me.
Who joined us today. Yeah, you bet. So until tomorrow, this is The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.